Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in a world in which people judged us on the basis of our inner beauty and who we were, rather than our superficial physical characteristics? Unfortunately, that's not the world we live in. We live in a world in which when single people see us at a party or dance or other situation, they're going to judge us 100% on the basis of what they can see. You could have a wonderful personality. You could have a great sense of humor. You could be intelligent. You could be giving. You could be a fantastic lover. You could be faithful. You could be the most wonderful person in the history of the world. But if you don't look attractive, nobody's going to notice you. In other words, inner beauty counts only after somebody starts talking to you. When people first see you, they're going to judge you 100% on the basis of what they see. In this tape, we're going to talk about romantic charisma, how to be irresistible to the opposite sex. And we're going to begin by talking about superficial beauty. Now, this is a very unpleasant subject with a lot of single people. They think that it's grossly unfair that they're judged on the basis of their physical appearance. Well, I agree. But the fact of the matter is, it doesn't make any difference whether it's fair or unfair. The fact of the matter is that we are judged initially on the basis of our physical appearance. So if you want to be attractive to the opposite sex, if you want romantic charisma, you have to play the game according to the rules. You have to look attractive. You know, back in the days of the ancient Greeks, when the messenger arrived, if he had bad news, they killed the messenger. They blamed him for the bad news. Now, I'm going to share some very unpleasant news with you today on this tape, and I want you to know that it's not my fault. I didn't create the world. My job is simply to level with you, let you know what the reality is, so that you can do something about it. One word of caution. Superficial beauty will get you to first base, but that's as far as you'll get with physical beauty. In order to get people to want to spend the rest of their lives with you, you have to have more than physical beauty. You have to have inner beauty as well. In other words, you can get people to want to spend a one-night stand with you if you're physically beautiful, but they may not want to be with you for the rest of their lives. Now, I want to warn you in advance that some of the suggestions I'm going to give you today are going to be distasteful to you. They may violate your value system, possibly even violate your moral code. I want you to be very clear that you are under no obligation to follow any of the suggestions that I'm going to give you today. In fact, to be honest with you, some of the suggestions I'm going to give you are so distasteful that I'm not even willing to follow them. They violate my value system. Let me just point out, however, that if the only purpose of your life was to attract the opposite sex, if nothing else mattered to you other than romantic charisma, you would follow all of the suggestions that I'm going to share with you on this tape. For the last 11 years, I've talked with thousands of single people about these suggestions, and I assure you, they all work. So let's launch into romantic charisma. What can you do to change yourself both inside and out so that you will be irresistible to the opposite sex? We're going to begin with your physical appearance, with your superficial beauty. Let's begin with a subject which is quite distasteful to a lot of women, and that is the subject of how old you appear to be. We live in an ageist society, and we also live in a society that has a double standard. The way the double standard goes is, if you are a woman, the older you look, the less attractive you are to men. The younger you look, the more men will want to go out with you. If you're a man, the converse is true. The younger you look, the less attractive you are to women. The older you look, the more women are going to be attracted to you. Now again, you can complain that this is unfair, and it certainly is. But the fact of the matter is, complaining doesn't change the world. What you have to ask yourself is, do I want to maximize my attractiveness to the opposite sex? If the answer is true and you're a woman, the first step is to do everything in your power to appear younger. Now notice I didn't say you have to be young, I just said you had to appear young. In other words, it's better to be a 50-year-old woman who looks 40 than a 40-year-old woman who looks 50. When a man first sees you, he can't tell how old you are. In fact, if you were to go up at random to 10 different people who don't know you and ask them to guess your age, you probably would be shocked by the differences in the guesses. Some people might guess you to be 5, even 10 years younger than you really are, and other people might guess that you're 5, possibly 10 years older than you are. So there could be a gap anywhere from 10 to 20 years between the lowest estimate and the highest estimate of your age. In other words, people are not always that good at guessing your age, but they'll try to do it anyway. So it's important to give them the signs that you are as young as possible. Unless you're dumb enough to tell them your true age, or unless they can see your driver's license or your birth certificate, they have no way of knowing your true age. They are going to judge you 100% on the basis of how old you appear to be rather than how old you really are. So, if you're a woman, what can you do to appear younger? The first and most obvious step is to dye your hair. Gray hair is out. The more gray hair you have, the less men you will attract. It's as simple as that. So if you start getting gray hairs, it is paramount that you start dyeing your hair immediately. The second thing that you can do, of course, is to use makeup. Makeup can cover up wrinkles. Makeup can make you appear to be younger. The third thing you can do is to grow your hair longer. Usually the older the woman, the shorter her hair. You'll notice if you look at Playboy magazine and look at the centerfolds there, the average woman there is 20 years old, and she has long, beautifully styled hair. Now, the Playboy centerfold is the standard of beauty in the United States. Most men in the United States are going to be attracted to that centerfold. Now, I'm making a gross generalization. There are certainly millions of exceptions to this generalization, and for that matter, all of the generalizations that I'm going to give today on this tape have exceptions. In fact, you may be one of those exceptions. The point about a generalization is it's true most of the time. So I'm going to make many generalizations in this tape. They aren't always true, but they are true for most men and most women. By the way, if you ask men and women about the generalizations I'm going to make, they're going to deny them. They're going to claim that it's not true or that they're the exception. People don't want to admit that the things that I'm talking about today are true. But again, on the basis of many years of research with thousands of single people, I can state categorically that the generalizations on this tape are true for most single men and most single women in the United States. So most men are attracted to women who are younger than they are. As a matter of fact, the average man in the United States marries a woman 2 to 3 years younger than he is. And by the way, the older a man is, the more he's attracted to younger women. If you start off with guys in their teens, they're happy to go out with women their own age, women who are younger than they are, women who are older than they are. In fact, it's not unusual for men in their early 20s to be attracted to women who are 10, 15, even 20 years older than they are. So the younger the man, the less likely he is to be unattracted to older women. But this changes over the years. The average man at age 25, which is the typical age for a man to get married in the United States, will marry a woman 2 years younger than he is, according to the U.S. Census Bureau. In other words, he's going to marry a woman who is 23 years old. Now, if that same man remarries for a second time at age 50, he's not going to marry a 48-year-old woman. On the average, he's going to marry a 42-year-old woman. He's going to marry a woman 8 years younger than he is. So the general rule is, the older a man is, the more he's attracted to younger women. Again, that's why it's so important for women to do everything in their power to appear younger. So if you grow your hair longer, as the centerfolds do in Playboy magazine, you're going to appear younger. If you dye your hair, if you wear makeup, you're going to appear younger. Now let's look at the other side of the coin. Let's turn to the men. The older you are as a man, or pardon me, the older you look as a man, the more women are going to be attracted to you. Now we can argue as to why that is so. I've asked many women, why are you unattracted to younger men? Because most women that I talk to do not find younger men to be attractive. And I hear a lot of answers. The women say that younger men are immature, they're not ready to settle down, they're unable to make a commitment, they don't earn enough money, they're not stable enough. There are all kinds of reasons why women are unattracted to younger men. It's irrelevant why they are. The fact of the matter is, the younger you are as a man, the harder it is to find a date on Saturday night. Now, this comes as a complete shock to most women. But if you look at the statistics, you'll see why this is so. Women get married in the United States earlier than men do. The average woman gets married 2 to 3 years older than the average man. Now, since the most common age for women in the United States to get married is in their early 20s, men in their early 20s find that there is a tremendous shortage of single women. To be more specific, according to the U.S. Census Bureau, from age 20 to 24, for every 100 single women in that age category, there are 160 single men. That means there's a 60% surplus of single men who can't find a woman their own age to date on Saturday night. Now, again, that's a shock to most women because they say to me, "You mean, Rich, these handsome guys, these hunks who look fantastic, who have a full head of hair, who have a trim waist, these guys can't find a date on Saturday night?" And the answer is true. The fact of the matter is, the older a man becomes, the more women want to go out with him. So as a man starts losing his hair, as he starts developing a pot belly, more and more women are going to be attracted to him. I know it sounds insane, but again, it's on the basis of the statistics. There's a 60% shortage of single women in the 20 to 24-year-old age bracket, and it's really worse than even that statistic would indicate, because a lot of these single women in their early 20s wouldn't date a man their own age. They're going to be dating men in their late 20s, 30s, possibly even 40s or 50s. Women in the United States are brainwashed to believe that older men are attractive and younger men are not. So if you are a man, the older you look, the more women you will attract. Now, there is a catch to this, because men sometimes say to me, "Well, then, if I want to be irresistible to women, what should I do? Should I, put on 50 pounds and lose all my hair or dye my hair gray?" And the answer is no. The average woman in the United States marries a man who is 2 to 3 years older than she is. So what you have to ask yourself if you're a man is, about what age woman would I most like to attract? And then you want to look 2 to 3 years older than she is. I'm not saying that you can't attract this woman if you're 10 or 20 years older than she is. The point is, if you get beyond that 2 to 3 year age discrepancy, you start losing some women. So if you are a man, you want to look 2 to 3 years older than the woman that you want to attract. Now, what do you do about your age? What do you do if somebody asks you your age, particularly if you're a woman? And the answer is, you must never, ever tell a living human being your true age if you are a woman. What you should do is everything in your power to look younger. And if you succeed, and most women, if they use the right makeup, if they have the right hairstyle, and if they are careful to dye their hair, can look years younger than their true age. If you succeed in looking younger, you would be a fool to throw away this advantage by blabbing your true age. As a matter of fact, I think it's rude for a man to ask a woman her age. I think it's just as rude as a woman asking a man how much money you make. Now, most women would like to know how much their date makes, but they usually have a little bit more class. They're a little more subtle. A lot of times women will ask a substitute question. They'll ask, "Well, what do you do for a living?" Now, women can get a clue as to how much money a man makes on the basis of his occupation. Most women, however, will not blatantly come out and ask, "How much money do you make?" And it's just as rude for a man to ask a woman, "How old are you?" In fact, the next time that a man asks you how old you are, why not just refuse to answer on the grounds that it might tend to incinerate you? In other words, make a joke out of it. Don't volunteer your age. Don't give people of the opposite sex, or even of your own sex, your true age if you're a woman, because they might blab it to other people that you're trying to attract. And of course, don't go out of the way to discuss the ages of your children. This is a sore point because most men will add 20 years to the age of your oldest child. So for example, if your oldest child is 18 years old, the man is going to say, "Well, she's probably at least 38. Probably she's in her 40s. In fact, she may even be as old as 48 or more." So giving the ages of your children is a dead giveaway. How do you handle the question? Well, the best way, of course, is not to bring up the question in the first place, not to mention the ages of your children. However, if a man is adamant that he wants to know how old your children are, you're probably going to have to answer honestly, because if you lie to him, he's going to be upset with you later, and it's going to create problems in your relationship. For sure, however, you must never use the one dirty word having to do with your age, and that is the word grandmother. You see, the average man in the United States is convinced that if you're a grandmother, you cannot be attractive to the opposite sex. So don't use that word grandmother. It's not true. The fact of the matter is, there are many grandmothers who are very, very sexy. There are many women who have never had children who are not sexy. The fact of the matter is, most men believe that if you're a grandmother, you can't be sexy. So don't mention the grandchildren. So the first step in romantic charisma, if you're a woman, is to look as young as possible, and if you're a man, to look 2 to 3 years older than the woman you want to attract. Now let's turn to your face, a little bit more specifically, and see what you can do to look better. Obviously, the more beautiful your face, the more people you're going to attract of the opposite sex. Now, this is 10 times more critical for women than it is for men. You see, a man does not have to be handsome. In fact, he doesn't even have to be average-looking to attract women. Whereas, a woman has to look good, has to have an attractive face, otherwise she's going to lose the vast majority of men. Again, here is the double standard at work. We've all heard the expression before, he's ruggedly handsome. Now, ruggedly handsome is just a euphemism for saying he's kind of a bad-looking or homely-looking guy. Have you ever heard the expression before, she's ruggedly pretty? They're a contradiction in terms. In other words, if you're a woman, you have to look good. If you're a man, you can still attract the opposite sex if your face is below average. Now, clearly, whether you're a man or a woman, the handsomer you are or the prettier you are, the more people you will attract. The only point I'm making is it is far more critical for a woman to have a good-looking face than it is for a man. So what do you do if your face is not as attractive as you'd like it to be? And let's face it, we'd all like to be handsomer. We'd all like to be prettier. What can you do? Well, women have a certain advantage over men in terms of beautifying their faces, and it's called makeup. Now, if you were to go out and ask 10 single men, do you like makeup? Probably 9, maybe all 10 of them would answer, no, I hate makeup. And that would be a lie. The fact of the matter is that most men in the United States love makeup, if it is tastefully done. Now, I want to emphasize that word tastefully. You can take any good thing to an extreme. For example, the average man in the United States is not attracted to Tammy Faye Baker. So if you use makeup, you have to use it tastefully. What men mean when they say they don't like makeup is, if you're the kind of woman who naturally has a beautiful complexion, naturally has beautiful eyes that stand out without fake eyelashes, without mascara, without eyeshadow, if you naturally have ruby red lips and rosy cheeks, then don't use makeup. But you see, that's just 1% of the female population that can go without makeup and still appear to be beautiful. The typical woman finds that if she doesn't wear makeup and she goes to a party or a dance, she's not going to get noticed. The men are all going to be attracted to the women who are tastefully made up. Now again, there are exceptions to every rule. There are millions of American men who truly do hate makeup, and if you wear any makeup at all, you start losing points with them. They would rather that you go totally without makeup, but they are the exception. The average man in the United States is attracted to women who are tastefully made up. In other words, to summarize the rule, you want to slop on the maximum amount of makeup on your face that you can get away with without it being obvious. The more makeup you wear, the more beautiful you will appear, as long as it isn't obvious that you have a lot of makeup on your face. Now, if you're a man, it's more difficult to wear makeup. It's not as socially acceptable. So what do you do to look better in terms of your face? And the answer is facial hair. Basically, you have 3 alternatives. You can grow a mustache, you can grow a beard, or you can go clean shaven. Now, they've done many studies and asked women, what do you find attractive and what do you find unattractive? And they find out that there is no inherent advantage in any one of those 3 options. In other words, some women prefer clean-shaven, some women prefer mustaches, some women prefer beards, but there's no general rule to follow. So what you really have to do is ask yourself, how do I look best? Do I look better clean-shaven, with a mustache, or with a beard? So make that decision for yourself. And by the way, you can't rely upon what your friends tell you. If you're a man and you have a beard and you were to shave it off and report to the office tomorrow morning and ask people, what do you think of me without my beard, everybody there would tell you it looks wonderful. 2 months later, if you were to regrow your beard and show up after a vacation with a beard and ask people, they'd all say, oh, you look great in a beard. I'm so happy that you regrew your beard. What I'm trying to say is people have a tendency to tell you what you want to hear rather than the truth. So what you have to do, if you're not quite sure how you look best, what you need to do is to turn to a really good friend. Some night, get them drunk if possible, and then ask them point blank, do I look better with my hair with this particular style or with a mustache or with a beard or in this particular style of clothing? In other words, you can't always trust your friends to tell you the truth. They're going to tell you the things that they think that you want to hear. So in terms of your face, women can use makeup, men can use facial hair. The other alternative, of course, is to use plastic surgery. Now, plastic surgery is, of course, an extreme suggestion. Yet there are millions of Americans that use plastic surgery every year in order to maximize their romantic charisma. If you look at many of the beautiful stars of the silver screen, you'll find that without a plastic surgeon, they would look just like the rest of us. The secret to looking physically beautiful for many people is to get a facelift or to get their nose fixed or their eyes fixed so that they are physically more beautiful. Now, one word of caution, plastic surgery does not always work. Everybody doesn't get wonderful results. In fact, some people wind up looking worse after the plastic surgery than before. So use your own judgment on whether or not to get the plastic surgery, and certainly make sure that you choose somebody extremely competent. Beyond that, however, clearly you can often improve your looks if you're willing to go to the time and the expense and the pain of undergoing plastic surgery. An example would be rhinoplasty, which is a nose job. Now, this costs several thousand dollars, and it can be quite painful. Usually what they do with a nose job is they break your nose. So you wind up being black and blue all over your face for several weeks, and they may actually have to cut off parts of your nose in order to reshape it. If you're willing to pay a few thousand dollars and go through that discomfort and run the risk that your nose will not be improved, then by all means, get the nose job. Incidentally, 20% of all rhinoplasty in the United States is now being performed on men. So plastic surgery, be it a facelift or a nose job or working on your eyes, is something which is an option for both sexes. This critical part of romantic charisma is your physique. In 75% of the cultures of the world, it is considered to be sexy to be plump. Unfortunately, the United States is not one of those 75%. In the United States, the general rule is quite the opposite. The thinner, the better. Now, obviously, you can take any good thing to an extreme. For example, Don Knotts or Twiggy are not considered to have beautiful bodies by most people in the United States. Generally speaking, however, the thinner you are, the more people of the opposite sex you will attract. So the question is, how do you lose weight? That's probably the number one most obvious thing that most single people can do to increase their romantic charisma. Now, the most popular answer to that question in the United States is dieting. But let's face it, dieting is just a euphemism. The real word is starvation. Because you see, all diets operate upon the starvation principle. The principle being that you spend more calories than you take in. That's the only way that you can lose weight through dieting. Well, of course, if you kept this up all the time, eventually, if you kept on spending more calories than you took in, you would die. It's called starvation. Well, of course, your body doesn't die. We all have inside of ourselves the instinct for self-preservation. So your body will do everything in its power to sabotage your diet. For that reason, studies have revealed that as many as 98% of people who go on crash diets, that is diets where you want to lose weight quickly, 98% of people who go on crash diets either don't lose very much weight or regain it within 2 years. In fact, the statistics suggest that if anything, you wind up becoming more overweight if you go on these crash diets. You see, when you're on a diet, your body tends to resist the diet by lowering your body's metabolism. That's the rate at which you burn up calories. In other words, your body is saying, if I'm eating less food and I'm in danger of starvation, I better start burning these calories more efficiently. So a lot of people find that when they go on these diets, they lower their body's metabolism. At some point, they get sick and tired of the diet. They go back to their normal calorie intake. And since their metabolism is now lower, they wind up regaining all of the weight that they lost, plus a few pounds more. That's your body's way of preparing for the next diet. It's saying, boy, I better put on some extra weight right now just in case this starvation binge hits me again. So that's the problem with dieting. It really doesn't work for the vast majority of American singles. And of course, the reason is quite simple. Most people are not willing to pay the price for being effective in dieting. In order to have an effective diet, you really have to stay on that diet for a lifetime. In other words, you have to be willing to suffer with hunger 16 hours a day, 7 days a week, 52 weeks out of the year for the rest of your life. most people are not willing to go through that kind of pain to lose weight. Most people find at some point they get sick and tired of the pain, they get sick and tired of the sacrifice, they go back to their eating patterns, they regain the weight, and possibly even a few extra pounds. Crash diets are a recipe for having a weight problem. So what's the alternative? Well, here's where we have to use a dirty word, and the word is exercise. Of course, exercise is also just a euphemism. The true word is hard work. And that's all that exercise is. It's hard work. And let's face it, most of us are lazy. Most of us would like to look good, but we're not willing to pay the price. We're not willing to put the time into exercise. Now, there's a small percentage of the population that loves to exercise. We all hear those rumors about the runner's high. And indeed, there are people who love exercise, but they are the minority. The average person does not enjoy exercise. However, exercise is really the most effective way to lose weight and keep it off over the long haul. To be more specific, it's 100 calories a mile. For every mile that you walk or run, on the average, if you're a typical American, you will burn up 100 calories per mile. Now, since there are 3,500 calories in a pound, that means you have to walk 35 miles just to lose 1 pound. So if you wanted to lose 10 pounds, which is pretty typical for a lot of single people, you'd have to walk 350 miles. You'd have to walk all the way from San Francisco to Los Angeles. Now, that sounds like an excessive amount of time, or an excessive amount of walking, but you know, you don't have to do it overnight. In fact, if you were just to walk one extra mile a day for a solid year, you would lose that 10 pounds each year. So if you wanted to lose 30 pounds, it might take 3 years, but you would lose that weight, you'd be much healthier, and you probably would keep the weight off. Now, of course, that's assuming that you keep your diet at the same level that it's in right now. Obviously, if you walk that extra mile a day and increase your food intake, you're not going to lose any weight. But assuming you don't take in any more calories, assuming you keep up all the other exercise that you're already doing, if you add 1 mile of walking or running per day, you will lose 10 pounds a year. Or if you don't want to walk every day a mile, the alternative would be to walk 2 miles every other day or 3 miles every third day. As long as you average 1 mile a day for an entire year, you should average 10 pounds or more of loss of weight each year. So that's the sure way to lose weight, the exercise method. What do you do if you're not willing to exercise? Well, if you'll recall, we talked about romantic charisma, and we said that it's more important to look good than to actually have the quality that you're seeking. For example, it's very, very important to look thin, even though you really aren't. And of course, there are certain ways that you can camouflage the fact that you are overweight by the way you dress. Specifically, it's recommended if you want to look thinner that you wear clothes that are dark colored. The darker the colors, usually the thinner you look. And also, you want to wear clothes that have vertical stripes, that is, stripes that go up and down. Now, the alternative, of course, if you're too thin and you want to look a little bit heavier, what you want to do is wear horizontal stripes, that is, stripes that go from left to right, and you also want to wear bright colors or white. These make you look heavier. So sometimes you can disguise a weight problem by the proper clothing. Let's talk for a moment about baldness, because a lot of men are concerned about this. 2/3 of all American men eventually will lose most of their hair. You have to understand that this is 100% genetic, or almost 100% genetic. You inherit it from both sides of your family. There's a myth out there that you only inherit baldness from the mother's side of the family, but that's not true. You inherit it from both sides of your family. So if any of the men on either side of your family have lost their hair, chances are quite good that you will lose most of yours as well. Now, how does that affect your romantic charisma? My experience is it depends on the woman that you want to attract. Generally speaking, women over 40 don't mind if a man has thinning hair. And on the other hand, if you want to attract a woman in her 20s or early 30s, there's a good chance that if you've lost your hair, you're going to lose some of these women. Not all of these women, because there are lots of women who don't mind a man who's losing his hair. But many women in the early 30s and in the 20s would prefer a man with a full head of hair. And there's a very obvious and simple explanation for this. Women over 40 find that 2 out of every 3 men out there in their age category are having thinning hair. So it's very commonplace to date a man who's losing his hair. It's no big thing. Most single women over 40 don't mind. On the other hand, most women in their 20s and early 30s are dating men who have a full head of hair. So you're competing against all of these men with full heads of hair. So that's where it becomes a little bit of a liability. So what I'm suggesting to you is, hair loss is only a problem usually if you want to attract younger women. If you do have a problem with loss of hair, a very obvious solution is to get a wig or a toupee. The problem with this suggestion is you have to be very, very conscious all day long that your artificial hair is on your head straight. So you constantly have to be looking in the mirrors, and you always have to run the risk of embarrassing yourself by having your toupee slip a little bit so that people can see that it's phony. Assuming you're willing to religiously watch yourself and make sure that that toupee is on straight all day long, and assuming you're willing to put up with the extra heat, especially in the summertime, from having, in effect, a hat on your head all day long, assuming you're willing to go through that price, wearing a toupee is one option for you if you want to appear to have a full head of hair. Another alternative, of course, is getting a hair transplant. The problem with this, of course, is it is surgery, so it can be uncomfortable, and more importantly, it is quite expensive, and often the results are not that good. So check into that, research it closely before you go for a hair transplant. There are other alternatives for hair loss as well. You might want to see your dermatologist to see what he or she would recommend. One more suggestion. Some of the hair loss remedies that you see advertised in magazines, generally speaking, these are rip-offs and are to be avoided. There is no product that has been proven to consistently help you regain your hair or prevent hair loss. And that includes minoxidil, which is the most promising drug on the market, which has been found in some studies to be successful with some men in growing some hair. Nevertheless, even minoxidil has very poor research to support it in terms of the contention that you can avoid hair loss by the use of a particular drug or chemical. Now let's talk about an uncomfortable problem, and that is the question of smell. The rule is very, very clear. You must never, ever smell like a human being. I know this sounds a little bit ridiculous, but really you have only 2 options if you want to have romantic charisma. You either have to have no smell at all, or you have to have an artificial smell, such as the smell of perfume or cologne or aftershave or deodorant or breath mints. If you smell like a human being, you are going to lose most people of the opposite sex. You know, if you look at all the different species on the face of the earth, you're going to find that they all share one quality, and that is every single species on the face of the earth is romantically attracted to its own smell, with the exception of the human species. In other words, dogs are attracted to the smell of other dogs. Cats are attracted to the smell of cats. Elephants are attracted to the smell of elephants. The only creature on the face of the earth that has the sense of smell that is not attracted to its own smell is the human species. Of course, we have a scientific name, Homo sapiens, which means the intelligent species. Well, of course, it's not just a coincidence that we have this name, since we named all of the species and we saved the best name for our own. But you know, if we were really honest, we would call our species Homo neuroticus, because truly it is neurotic to not like the smell of your own species. Now, be that as it may, the fact of the matter is, if you smell like a human being, you will be romantically unattractive to most single people. So the rule is, you must never smell like a human being. Here's where we have to talk for a few moments about personal hygiene. It is a very personal question, and it varies from person to person. Some people find that they can go a day or 2 or 3 without a shower and still smell relatively fresh. Other people find they have to shower 2-3 times a day. And especially they have to shower before going out in the evenings to a party or a dance or a picnic or whatever. So you have to judge for yourself how often you have to bathe, what kind of soap you need to use, what kind of deodorant and how strong of a deodorant you need to use, whether or not you need breath mints, how often you need to brush your teeth and floss your teeth. There are all kinds of secrets for smelling better. You have to determine for yourself how much effort you have to put into personal hygiene. Sometimes I get asked by people, how do I know whether I smell good or smell bad? See, the problem is that however you smell, you're accustomed to it, so you're really the poorest judge. What you have to do is turn to other people and ask them if you smell. This is a very difficult question to get an honest answer to. Because you see, your friends want to tell you what you want to hear. That's how they remain your friends. They wouldn't be your friends if they were always telling you things that caused you pain. So your friends are going to be feeling under tremendous pressure to lie to you if you smell. So the one way to find out for sure if you smell, and this was suggested earlier on this tape, is get your closest friend completely drunk. And then just ask them point blank, do I stink? Hopefully they'll give you an honest answer, even though the truth may be painful to you. But it is critical that you not smell like a human being. And of course, the same holds true for your clothing. Your clothing has to smell fresh, just as your body has to smell fresh. Again, if you do have hygiene problems, one thing to do is to cover them up with deodorants and with aftershave lotion and perfume and breath mints and whatever. But the better method is to just have good personal hygiene so that you don't have a human odor. Incidentally, while we're talking about the subject of smell, let's talk about an allied subject, which is that of smoking. Smoking is the new leprosy in the United States. Clearly, one of the most obvious things you can do to turn off the vast majority of single people is to smoke. You see, 75% of Americans do not smoke, and the vast majority of non-smokers can't stand to be around smoke. So if they see you light up at a party or a dance or a social gathering, you're going to lose approximately 75% of the people of the opposite sex right off the bat by smoking. So, what do you do if you smoke? There are two solutions. There's a very difficult solution and there's an easier solution. The difficult solution is to quit smoking. Now, I say that's difficult because obviously there are millions of people in the United States right now who would love to give up smoking but simply are unwilling or unable to pay the price that it takes to quit smoking. This is the recommended solution, however. Not only will you increase your romantic charisma, but you also will improve your health and your longevity. How do you quit smoking? There's all kinds of help available out there. There are hypnotherapists to go to. There are smoke-enders and smoking anonymous groups out there. Call up your local churches. Call up your local health department. Call up your local hospital. Ask your doctor for suggestions. There is unlimited help available out there for anybody who would like to quit smoking. There are professional organizations such as the SHIC program that you can pay to help you quit smoking. That is the ideal solution. What do you do if you're not willing to give up smoking? The other alternative is you have to become a closet smoker. In other words, you must never, ever light up in the presence of somebody of the opposite sex that you want to attract who is not a smoker. Now, this is a very difficult piece of advice to follow because, unfortunately, most smokers find that they have the greatest urge to smoke in social situations, when they're in a bar, when they're at a party, any time that they're around strangers, especially attractive strangers of the opposite sex. A lot of people feel a little bit nervous, so they turn to a nervous habit, such as smoking, to allay their anxiety. Nevertheless, smoking is the kiss of death. 75% of people that you want to attract do not smoke and will be turned off to you if you light up in their presence. So if you have this desperate need to smoke, smoke in private, smoke outdoors, excuse yourself, go into the boys' room or the girls' room. Find some surreptitious place to smoke, but do not light up in the presence of people of the opposite sex who do not smoke that you would like to attract. Of course, you do have that problem of smell, however, because cigarettes leave a very obvious odor upon your body and upon your clothes. So if you are a closet smoker, how do you cover up the fact that you smoke and prevent people from smelling tobacco on your body or on your clothing? And the answer is you have to smoke very carefully. Number one, you smoke in well-ventilated areas. And you watch the ventilation. You watch which way the wind is blowing. You watch that smoke, and you make sure that the smoke never goes upon you nor upon your clothing. The other thing, of course, is to wash your clothes often. And the other thing is to use some kind of a breath mint, such as Benaca. You always must have clean-smelling breath, clean-smelling clothes, and a clean-smelling body. If you have the smell of tobacco upon you, you're going to lose most non-smokers. So those are your two options with respect to smoking. If you don't use one of those options, if you don't either quit smoking or become a closet smoker, you're going to lose close to 75% of all the wonderful single people in the United States who will reject you right off the bat because you are a smoker. Let's return now to a subject that we broached earlier in this tape, and that is your wardrobe. Clothes can do one of two things to enhance you. They can conceal your bad qualities, and they can reveal your good qualities. So you want to choose a wardrobe that does both these things. Look at yourself in the mirror sometime and try to figure out which are the most attractive parts of your body. Which are the parts of your body that you would like other people to see are beautiful parts of your body? And conversely, notice the parts of your body that are not quite so attractive. Choose a wardrobe that reveals your good points and conceals your bad points. Now, in terms of revealing your good points, you have two options. You can either bare that part of your body, or if it's not socially acceptable to bare that part of the body, you can wear tight clothing in that particular area so that that part of your body is clearly evident. In terms of concealing, obviously you want to wear clothes that cover up those parts of your body that are less attractive. To give you an example, suppose you happen to be a woman and you have very attractive, shapely calves, but you have heavy thighs. Incidentally, they did a study of Playboy bunnies, and they found out that even the women with the most beautiful bodies on the face of the earth, almost all of them thought that their thighs were too heavy. But let's assume you really do have heavy thighs, and you have shapely calves. The solution is obvious. You would wear a skirt or a dress that goes down to your knee. It covers up your thighs, but it reveals your beautiful calves. If you have a beautiful body, generally speaking, you want to go to social situations where it is socially acceptable to reveal as much of your body as possible. So, for example, you would hopefully go down to the beach. That's where it's socially acceptable to let everybody see that you have a beautiful body. Or you would meet people in the outdoors at a picnic or some kind of other sports event, for example, that would allow you to have a short sleeve shirt or to wear short pants or a short skirt or whatever. Now, of course, if on the contrast you happen to have a body which is not that shapely, you want to go to social situations where it is acceptable to wear a lot of clothing. You go to places where you can wear a tuxedo, places where you can wear a three-piece suit, places where you can wear a long sleeve dress and an evening gown, for example, that goes down to the floor. That way you can cover up those parts of your body that are not that attractive. Now, a good example of all of this would be Ronald Reagan. Ronald Reagan is a man who looks extremely good in his clothes and extremely bad out of his clothes. If you ever had the misfortune of seeing the photograph of Ronald Reagan and his wife Nancy out on the beach in Hawaii, you would see how valuable clothing can be in concealing your bad points. Ronald Reagan, over the years, had consistently been voted one of the best-dressed men in the United States by the experts. Here's a man who looks really great in a three-piece suit, but who looks horrible in a pair of swimming trunks. So if you are a person with a beautiful body, wear clothes that reveal your good points. If you happen to have not so beautiful of a body, wear clothes that conceal your bad points and make you look good. There's no reason why anybody has to look horrible. If you wear the correct wardrobe, you can maximize your physical attractiveness to the opposite sex. While we're on the subject of clothes, let's turn specifically to men, because it is critical that men dress appropriately to attract women. Women have a tendency to judge men on the basis of how they dress. Number one, it gives them a clue as to how much money the man has. And whether or not most women want to admit it or not, the average woman in the United States is attracted to a man more on the basis of how much money she thinks he has than on the basis of any other quality. Now, this is a controversial statement. It offends a lot of women. Nevertheless, on the basis of many years of research, I can state categorically that the number one aphrodisiac, the number one way to attract a woman, is to look wealthy. So if you're a man, you want to dress in the most expensive clothes that you can afford. You want to wear clothes with 100% natural fibers. Your suits should be 100% wool, as well as your slacks. Your shirt should be 100% cotton. Your tie should be 100% silk. You cannot get by with bargain basement clothes. You cannot get by with polyester. You buy the most expensive clothes that you can find. Make sure that they are well tailored and make sure that they are in style. Women tend to be experts on clothes. They can tell whether your clothes are expensive or cheap. They can tell whether they are well fitting or poorly fitting. They can tell whether they're in style or out of style. If you want to attract women, it is critically important to dress well, to dress in style, to look good in your clothes, and to look wealthy. And if you do that and you're a man, you don't have to be handsome. This is the one advantage that men have over women. You don't have to be good-looking to attract a woman. You can either be good-looking or you can look wealthy. Here's one final suggestion on doubling your physical beauty. It's an easy suggestion. Smile. Whenever you smile, you immediately double the physical beauty of your face. Any photographer can tell you that. In addition, you look friendly and you look happy.